Good morning. We learned in the Gemara that the way Marsha understood, after Chizkiah was not made Mashiach, all the neshamos of people who had died realized that the Gullus was going to be long. So therefore they came to the Malach Duma, who's overseas. We saw two explanations: either he oversees the Gehenom, or he oversees all who are dead. We'll see more about that today. And they asked him, when will the Geula be? And he assured them that it will be, but it will be long. And they want to know, because if it's the neshamos that are in Gehenom, they want to know when they're going to get out. And if it's all the neshamos of dead people, they want to know when Chesem Esim is going to be. I mentioned that we commonly use the terms Gan Eden and Gehenom to talk about where neshamos are now, when people die, waiting for the future. And it's very understandable that we commonly do that, because we have a tefillah called Kel Mali Rachamim, in which we say about the neshama, B'Gan Eden Tehei Menuchato, his resting place should be in Gan Eden. So the authors of this tefillah, which is mentioned in Rishonim, if not earlier, understood that that's where neshamas of people who died are, in Gan Eden, or at least they could be in Gan Eden, so we say their resting place should be in Gan Eden. However, it's not, like everything else, not so simple and not so straightforward. So I want to talk a little bit about where do neshamos go when a person dies. I was thinking about why talk about this. I mean, I haven't decided how much detail we'll get into about what happens when a person dies. It's not really this sugya. As we'll see, it's really a Masechet Shabbos. We'll get there someday, maybe. But it is kind of gruesome. Why? What's the purpose of talking about it? But Gemara says that one of the ways that a person avoids sin is to remember Yom HaMisa, to picture Yom HaMisa. And most of the Sfarim say, I forget where specifically I saw this very detailed description, it doesn't just mean, remember we're going to die. But a person should picture it himself. If a person has a challenge, a difficult challenge, he should actually picture himself lying in bed, surrounded by his relatives who are crying, don't go, and then picture himself dying, and picture all these things that happen. In order to picture them, then you have to learn about them. And it could be a tool for a person to avoid avera, or increase a person's yirat chait. So one of the Musar Sfarim, this is very vivid description of picturing Yom HaMisa. I don't remember where I saw that. But in any event, that would be the purpose of talking about it. So Rav Sadia Gaon writes in Emunos Videos, which is what the Sefer is commonly called, the technically correct name is Hanivchar Emunot Videot, the choice beliefs. In Mamar Shishi, towards the end of Mamar Shishi, Perek Zayin, he says, Ata Omar, now I will tell you, what will be the condition of the neshama after it leaves the body? And I'll reply with what I mentioned earlier. The neshama is put somewhere to be kept safe until the time of reward comes, implying there is no immediate reward, just put in storage.
It's not doing something. It's not a question of reward.
Right.
It's not doing something.
Sounds like it. Well, we'll see. Well, we'll see a little more. Komro, unitzor nafshecha, hu yeda veyishiv ladam kifolo. says in Mishlei, he knows how to guard your soul, and he will pay a person back according to his deeds. So v'ye makom shmirat hazakot shebahen lamala, those that are neshamos that are pure, or the sefer was written in Arabic, so there are different translations. But so either it means pure or shining. So though they will be stored above, v'hadeuchot betachtiyot, and those that are in a pitiful state, those neshamos that are not bright and shining, will be stored in a low place. As it says in Daniel, that those who are mezakeh the rabim, those who bring merit to the many, they will shine like the light, the stars, or the light of the heaven. It's pasuk in Daniel, Perek Yud Beis. Umashneamar ha'olahi lamala, and likewise we say in Koheles, person doesn't know if his neshama will go up or it will go down. As it says, he says the Rishonim, it's a Gemara. He was before the Rishonim, so he was gone. So when he says Rishonim, he means those who came before. It's actually Gemara and Shabbos. That the Neshamos of Tzadikim are stored under the Kisei HaKavod. And the Shamos of Rishaim just wander through the world. Zehu v'chadome lo hevdel b'neim. This and similar things is the difference between tzadikim and rishayim. V'tchilat zman ha'perut yisher zman musyam bilti nacha b'nuchata ad sheiv la'guf. When the neshama first leaves the body, there's a certain amount of time when it's not at rest until the body has decomposed. V'inyan davar zeh ad sheit pardu chalakav, that is until the parts come apart. During this time, the neshama suffers knowing what's happening to the body. Just like a person, if a person saw his house destroyed in a hurricane or an earthquake, and he sees weeds growing where his house used to be, he would feel bad. This suffering, this pain that the soul experiences is lesser or greater as befits that particular soul. Just like a person who lives in a shack made out of wooden planks is going to care less about an earthquake destroying his house because he can just put the wooden planks back together than a person who lives in Beverly Hills or something. And his mansion is destroyed in an earthquake. And that's why our predecessors said that. So, well, before we go on, Rav Kapach, who translated this edition, he says, there's a relatively long footnote, he says that this is how I understood what he's saying, that a person who put more effort into his house is going to suffer more if his house is destroyed. Similarly, a person who puts more effort into his body, who is more into Gashmius, is going to care more when his body is decomposing. Whereas Tzadikim, who, not that a person shouldn't care about his body, a person has to care about his health, but a person who's focus on his body was only to be healthy in order to serve Hashem, so he's going to suffer less when he doesn't have a body anymore, or when he sees what happens to his body, because it served its purpose. He understands the purpose of it, and he's less attached to it. Okay. So he continues. The Rav Sadia Gaon continues. Al kach omrim kadmonenu kasheri ma lemeit kemachat lemsarchai. That's what it means when the Gemara in Brachos and Shabbos says that the decomposition is difficult for the mace, like sticking a needle in the skin of in the flesh of a live person. It hurts. And this is confirmed by a pasuk in Eov that says his flesh will pain him and his soul will mourn for it. This is all I know about what's called the din of the grave or chibut hakever, which he understands as the term chibut literally means being knocked about in the grave. So Rav Kapach says, I don't know where he got these names. Sadi Gaon seems to be saying there's something we call din hakever or chibut hakever, and this is what it means. In fact, this seems to be the earliest reference that we have. Obviously, Rav Sadi Gaon had a reference to these terms because he said this is what they mean, but they don't appear in the Gemara. They don't appear in any major medrash. And so Rav Kapach says, I don't know where he got them from. Afterwards, they are used, commonly used terms, and not always understood the same way that Rav Sadi Gaon understood them. I think we'll probably have time to talk about that a little bit. So what he says really is based on Gemara, Shabbos, Kufnun Beis Amud Beis. Amar Riavau. Riavau says, Kol Shomrim Bifnei Amet Yodea, Ad Shisateim HaGolel. Anything that's said in front of a mace, he knows until the, we'll translate loosely, until the grave is closed. The Zmachlokas, Rashi and Tosos and others, what a golel is. If you learn Mishnayos, Taharos, you come across this term. There's a dofek and golel, which are parts of closing a grave. Some say it's the stone that's rolled in front of the grave. They're different interpretations. So we'll just say, until the grave is closed. Plegi bar Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi argued about this. Chadamar ad shisateim golel. One said until the grave is closed. Chadamar ad shitakel habasar. And one said that the person who died, or the neshama, knows what's going on until the body decomposes. Mandamar ad shitakel basar dichtiv ach basar alav yichav nafsho alav teabel. The one who says it's until the body has decomposed, because the pasuk in Eov that we just mentioned says his flesh will pain him and his soul, and he will mourn for his soul. His soul will mourn for his body. And the one who says it's until the grave is closed, because Pasuk in Gohela says he will return to the earth as he was. Tanarbanan. It was taught in a Braisa. The Pasuk in Kohela says the spirit will return to Hashem as it was given. Tina lo kamosh nina lecha b'tahara. It was given. Tina lo kamosh nina lecha b'tahara afata b'tahara. Just as it was given to you, pure, give it back pure. Mashal lemelch basar adam shechilek bigdei machut la'avadav. This may be compared to a human king who gave fine clothes, royal clothes, to his servants. The wise ones folded them up neatly and left them in the dry cleaning box. The fools among them wore the clothes to work. Then one day the king asked for his clothes back. The wise ones returned them as if they had just come yesterday from the dry cleaners. The fools returned them dirty. The king was happy with the wise ones and angry at the foolish ones. The wise ones, he said, give my clothes back to the ward, the keeper of the wardrobe, and hem yachulu b'tehem b'shalom, and they'll go home in peace. And about the fools, he said, my clothes should go to the laundry. And they should go to jail. Af HaKadosh Baruch Hu al gufan shel tzadikim omer yavo shalom yanucha al mishkavotam. So too about tzadikim, it says, let peace come, they will rest on their resting places. Val nishmatan hu omer, and on their souls it says, vayitan nefesh adoni tzura b'tzura chayim. May the soul of my master be bound up in the binding of life. It's part of it's in Sefer Shmuel, Pasuk in Sefer Shmuel. Al Gufan, that's if you ever see on a tombstone the initials at the very bottom, Taf Nun Tzadi Bet Hey, it stands for Tehei Nafsho Tzura B'Tzura Chayim. Al Gufan Shor Shaim Omer Ein Shalom Amar Shem Hashem. Regarding the bodies of Rishayim, it says there's no peace, said Hashem, for the Rishayim. And about their neshamos, it says that the soul is also same place in Sefer Shmuel. The soul of your enemies should be slingshotted in the slingshot. Tanya Rabbi, in other words, they have no rest. Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nishmatan Shel Tzadikim Gnuzot Tachat Kisei Kavod. Rabbi Eliezer says, the neshamos of tzaddikim are hidden under the kisei hakavod, under Hashem's throne, so to speak. Shemar v'vaytan nefesh adoni tzura b'tzura chayim, v'shar rishayim zomemot v'holchot, and the neshamos of rishayim are wandering. Rashi says the word zomemot means they're tied up. So they're imprisoned and they wander.
Umalach echad omed b'sof ha'olam. That's wandering in this world. So understanding it.
Yes, it's talking about in the context of the Gemara. It's talking about right after death. So wandering somewhere, as opposed to the future olam haba. Right now we're talking about what we're talking about. Where does the neshama go when a person dies? Wait until. Rasadi Gaon says, we actually didn't read that part. Rasadi Gaon says, all of this is until all the neshamos that Hashem intends to create have been created. As you remember, because I know what you're going to ask next, as you remember from an earlier Shia, Rasadi Gaon did not believe in Gilgulim. So each neshama is used once, and once they're all used up, that's when the Geula will happen, if not sooner. Because he does talk about it could be happened sooner. And so that's what the neshamos are waiting for. They're waiting for all the neshamos to be used up.
So wandering isn't one thing in 30 days or wander different.
Right now we're seeing what the Gemara says. Gemara says that, and Rav Sadi Gaon takes it literally, until the time for Tchias HaMesim comes, the souls of Rishayim were just wandering about, or being, as we'll see now, being played, have malachim playing catch with it. Malach echad omed b'sof ha'olam, malach acher omed b'sof ha'olam. There's one malach standing at one end of the world, and one malach at the other end of the world, and they slingshot the neshamos back and forth between them. Obviously, this is not to be taken literally, but it's describing something very unpleasant. For to have malachim putting your neshama in a slingshot and playing catch, doesn't sound, it's not as pleasant as being at rest under Hashem's throne. Amrli Rabba Rav Nachman. So Rabba said to Rav Nachman, Shel Beinonim Mai, what happens? Okay, we learned about the neshamos of tzaddikim and the neshamos of Rishayim. What about the neshamos of Beinonim, of in-between people? Amrli Ika Shachivna Lo Amri Lechu Hai Milta. I'm glad you asked, because if I had died without ever telling you this, then you wouldn't know. Hachi Amar Shmuel, Elu V'Elu L'Dumanim Sarim. All neshamos are given to the Malach Duma, who we've met already. Nimsarim, Halalu Yeshla Manoach. Some have rest, Halalu Ein Lam Manoach, and some don't have rest. Rashi says, Duma is the Malach appointed over the neshamos. That is the Gemara, no mention of person dying and going to Gan Eden or dying and going to Gehenna. well, as mentioned, there are other opinions, and we'll probably see another opinion. And in Kelmal Rachamim, as I mentioned, we do say, "Begun Eden to Hey Minuchato, may his rest be in Gan Eden," implying the authors of this tefillah, Kelmal Rachamim, that said, we say it before a yard site. Here, the Minigan Shul is to say it every Shabbos for 12 months after a person dies. So the authors of that, who were Rishonim, if not earlier, did understand the Shama goes to Gan Eden. We'll see more about that another day. Rasadi Gaon mentioned this concept called Chibut HaKever, which literally means being knocked about in the grave. So there's an interesting discussion in Sefer Nishmas Chaim of Rav Menashe ben Yisrael. Menashe ben Yisrael lived in Amsterdam in the 1600s. We've mentioned him before. I'm sure you remember your high school history, and he comes up there too. He was the person, after, we're all familiar with the expulsion of Jews from Spain, but Jews have been expelled from everywhere at one time or another, including from Great Britain in, I think, 1390, something like that. And in the 1600s, when the monarchy was overthrown during the reign of Oliver Cromwell, Menashe ben Yisrael went to England to try to convince him to allow Jews back in. And so that's where he comes up in history class. However, he wrote a sefer called Nishmas Chaim, which previously described as everything you want to know about the neshama and didn't know who to ask. And he has a chapter on Chibut HaKever. Mamar Bet, Perk Chaf Dalad. We know that the body, after a person dies, is like, he calls it an Evan Domeim. It's an inanimate stone, has no feelings at all. And yet the Gemara says, we mentioned, that the decomposition of the body is painful, like sticking a needle in a person's flesh. So he says, some say that it's a figure of speech. However, Kubalim say that literally there's something called Chibut HaKever. And he brings from the Zohar that there are seven times when a person passes away, he's judged seven times or in seven different ways. And one of them is the judgment of the worms, of the decomposition of the body. And there's actual pain that, as surprising as it is to us, because the person's dead, you would think he can't feel anything, but says, no, there is actual pain that a person experiences. But the Rashba seems to argue with this concept. Rashba is one of the major Rishonim. He was asked a question. Reuven asked to be buried in his family plot in some distant city. And the day he died, he could not be taken there. You know, maybe it was, he died on a Friday afternoon. They didn't have technology like we have, so they had to bury him. So they buried him temporarily. And now they want to move his body to the place of his ancestors. So they want to know whether it's permitted to hasten the decomposition of the body with chemicals so that they can collect the bones and move them to the ancestral burial place.
After 12 months?
No, they want to, that's the point. They don't want to wait till the body's decomposed, but they can't take it in the current state. So they want to pour lime on it to make it decompose. That was the shayla that the Rashba was asked, the halachic shayla. So the Rashba says it's permitted. It's not demeaning to the mace, and it doesn't cause pain because the body's dead. It can't feel pain. So that's what he paskened. So there seems to be a machlokas between halacha and Kabbalah about whether we understand that a mace actually feels pain. How would a mace feel pain? I mean, the body is dead. So he brings that, he says, the Zohar holds that the neshama is still tied to the body because the body is the, calls it the chariot of the soul. And the person is, the soul is rewarded or punished together with the body in Gan Eden above or in Gehenna below. So he, unlike the Gemara and Rosati Gaon, brings in this concept of Gan Eden and Gehenna, and he says, I discussed this elsewhere, so we will, in Yitzhak Hashem, discuss it elsewhere. They're connected, the neshama's in Gan Eden or Gehenna, and there's some kind of umbilical cord connecting it to the body in the grave, and the body actually feels what's going on.
Is it saying the body is what's doing the feeling, or the...
The way he's understanding the Zohar, the body actually feels because it's connected to the neshama. So the neshama is having this great pleasure in Olam in Gan Eden, and it flows down to the body. Or the neshama is having this great pain in Gehenna, and it flows, we'll say, up to the body, because we speak of Gehenna being down there somewhere. That's how the Zohar would understand. The Rashba would understand, like you're saying, that he says, just like if a father sees his son having pleasure or a father sees his son suffering, the father feels emotions. So too, when the neshama feels connected to the body like a family member. So when the neshama sees the body decomposing, the neshama feels pain. That's how he says the Rashba would understand. He says, so it comes out that this concept of chibut hakever, it's machlokas, whether it's actually suffering of the body, again, literally the words mean being knocked around in the grave, but if you would x-ray the earth, would you see the body writhing in pain? Or not? Is it just the neshama feeling pain? That seems to be machlokas between the Zohar and the Rashba and other Rishonim who hold like the Rashba. As I said before we started, the purpose of discussing this, among other things, is it increases, Chazal say that one way to avoid sin is to picture the day of death. You get a picture of the day of death, you need to know something about it. It doesn't just mean sit there and say, I know I'm going to die, but it says to picture it. So we have to learn about it. In Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll continue with the Gan Eden versus Gehenna perspective. Have a good day.